MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Now, according to Stats SA, around one quarter of South Africa's population live in townships, and with that comes a vibrant economic sector often referred to as the Khasi economy or the hidden economy. In 2023, research estimating that this sector could be worth close to 200 billion rand. The digital marketing agency Roger Wilco, alongside research partner Survey 54's latest annual Township CX report, is due out in October, but senior brand strategist at the agency Mongezi Mtati has agreed to give us a sneak peek at the latest findings, and he joins me now. Mongezi, first of all then, how are consumers in this important economy, I wonder, adapting to new online shopping platforms compared perhaps to the general economy?
Over the years, Jeremy, what we keep seeing time and time again is that there has been a lack of trust quite a lot between, I suppose, the township economy and ordering online. And this is, of course, due to all the things that we keep hearing about, fraud, identity theft, and all of those things. But year on year, we see that there's a change in how people are adopting to shopping online. This year, for instance, we asked what factors would make respondents shop more online, and people are citing more payment methods. And if you think about the fact that we talk about the unbanked quite a lot, even though we don't talk about that as much anymore, 21% of our respondents say more payment methods would make them shop more online. Another area that comes up quite a lot, which doesn't, I suppose, come up a lot in suburbia, is something about delivery to the home, that last mile delivery, because some e-commerce platforms have cited a lack of, in some instances, addresses or not knowing street names or not knowing the township as much as they know other areas. So 19% of our respondents have said delivery to the home would increase their likelihood to shopping online.
But these e-commerce purveyors have got to come up with a strategy, surely, to overcome that, given the importance of the market.
Absolutely. And in some instances, we've seen that some have, like, I mean, one brand to cite, I suppose, is Spar, with their Spar to You delivery, where I know that, I think in places like Amanskraal and Tembisa, they've partnered with Delivery Gaspeed, which is a township-founded delivery platform that understands the township. So some brands are adapting to it, and I think I've seen that Take A Lot is doing one or two things in townships as well. So there is this adaptation that we are seeing by e-commerce platforms in some instances, but it's not enough, or at least the perception by the communities is that it isn't enough. And if there was more of it, they'd be likely to shop more online.
To what extent is this trend being driven by younger shoppers?
In very many instances, it is. I think the younger shoppers, shoppers in their 20s to sort of their mid to early 40s are driving this quite a lot because they like the convenience. And a lot of the time, we tend to see the township in isolation, whereas people in townships travel, they experience things outside of the township quite a lot. So if you work in Sandton and stay in Soweto, you know what you experience in Sandton, or you work in Greenpoint and you live in Khayelitsha, for example, you know what you experience in Greenpoint, which is different from what you experience where you live. So this, I think we are starting to see that people who live in townships don't see themselves as living in a township in isolation. The brand experience and the experience that they expect of brands is also informed by experiences that they have outside of their localities.
And to what extent has the digital adoption that we've been talking about within the Khasi economy impacted the operations of informal traders and, I guess, sponsor shops?
Quite a lot. So what we saw, I think, coming out of COVID, I know we don't talk about COVID anymore, but what we saw coming out of COVID is that because people weren't traveling, the local economies in these townships were also adapting. So they were looking for ways to deliver. They were looking for ways to engage and interact. So in very many ways, even though they don't use the traditional formal platforms that e-commerce is known to live on, they use platforms like WhatsApp to deliver groceries or a basket of groceries to a home that they know is nearby. So this adaptation is happening quite a lot, and it's happening a lot of the time outside of traditional platforms where we're able to measure it. But when we ask people what they're doing, you realize that they're adapting to this digitalization where some of them are connected in the home, and some of them, of course, use mobile data to do so. But we are seeing that this digitalization is really influencing how people are shopping and how the stores themselves, spaza shops, and all the rest of it, engage with the customer.
And that's a prime example, is it not, of one of the key drivers behind the ongoing resilience of this Kasi economy?
This is true. This is true. And what we are seeing as well is that in some instances, even though brands aren't really responding quickly enough to it, the Kasi economy itself is making strides. I mean, there's a brand called Gcwalisa, which really enables people to bring a container to come buy, be it maize meal or flour, at this store, at one of their stores. And really, the idea of it is that you refill whatever it is that you want to get to use at that particular instance. So in some instances, you're seeing that if brands don't respond, the gussy economy does and creates alternatives.
And leading on from that, and a final question then, are there new lessons that formal retailers can learn from the informal sector's success?
Absolutely. Quite a few of them. So one of the things I think that informal retail sometimes does is give this feeling, or at least perception, and sometimes it's real, where they help to develop, they're seen as helping to develop the economy. They're seen as helping to develop the township. And when we ask our respondents this year if they believe brands keep their promises, over 40% of them felt as though brands don't keep their promises. They either partially keep them or don't keep their promises at all in helping to develop the communities. So a big lesson for brands here is that in a world where the trust deficit between brands and consumers is increasing, they're not doing themselves any favors by not keeping promises in these townships that they operate in.
I'm going to leave it there. Mongezi Mtati, thank you very much indeed from Roger Wilco.